Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right, Survivor Series.
Yes.
It happened.
It did happen.
Do you want to like go through it like methodically, or do you just want to like give some emotional reaction to how you feel?
I mean, if we go with the emotional reaction feel, it's going to be a short podcast because I felt kind of nothing for this. You know, like I don't feel negatively about the show overall. Like the ending, kind of like meh, but the show overall wasn't bad. It just wasn't special. Like they were gearing this up. Like they, you know, they really kind of oversold Survivor Series this year.
I want to address a couple of things.
Okay.
One is the issue of predictability, I guess. And so there is, it's always scary to say, like, I don't want it to be predictable, because we have, you know, in my lifetime, a very glaring example of the problems of things not being predictable for nothing more than the sake of not being predictable.
Sure.
And that's, you know, that leads to terrible inconsistency and is...
Right. Like, yeah, like, you don't... You need predictability.
Everybody hates that, and right. and they should, but
you need to have a purpose behind the unpredictable. Whatever you're going to do, that's unpredictable. You need a
right,
purpose
right. Well, it seemed so clear with the storyline. Oh, you know, you build up to Roman winning, and then your twist at the end is that Sheamus will catch him. Like it seems like that is clearly the storyline it will be. And it happened beat for beat for beat for beat.
Right.
And it's just like, that's how I would have done it. That's what right. I expected them to do. And that's what happened. And that disappoints me.
Right. And, you know, aside from Triple H's role, it's almost beat for beat exactly, you know, Daniel Bryan's Survivor Series.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
But if everything is predictable, I'm kind of like, there wasn't any match I was chomping at the bit to see. I mean, I'll watch Kevin Owens do just about anything, and I think Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose were going to put on a good match, and they did put on a good match.
Right.
It was really short, and like it felt too short for a championship match at Survivor Series.
Sure.
But that was like, If I'm not tuning in to see what happens, I'm tuning in for the matches, and there is, like, one match a card, if you're lucky.
Right.
That I'm like, oh, that's the match I'm right. tuning in, not to see what happens, but to see the match.
No, I mean, I was excited at the idea of a Ziggler and Tyler Breeze match, if they were given more time, but on a pay-per-view, a three-hour show... Tyler Breeze and Dolph Ziggler was given 6-7 minutes.
Yeah.
So. And that's... It's disappointing. It was disheartening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then again, the Divas match was longer than the Undertaker match. Or the Brothers of Destruction match.
Yeah. Well, and then... And part of that was like, well... Undertaker has pretty consistently not had a problem with the Wyatts, so
sure.
It wouldn't make sense for them to like suddenly be a real challenge for the Brothers of the Destruction.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
But at the same time, okay, all
right. Right.
I feel like this was a very good case of it's so clearly this is what should happen that you almost have to do something else. And I know that's a very, very dangerous thing to say, because we've had really big problems with, this is what we should do, so we'll do something else because it's not what we should do.
Right.
And we've gone down dangerous paths and really upsetting and terrible paths that way. But I feel like there needed to be something that was just like, that something that wasn't the thing that everybody predicted.
Right.
And it's just... I don't know. And I kind of liken it to... I don't like it... Here's a good example. When Undertaker came back at Battleground and it kind of got spoiled ahead of time, in that situation, I still feel like you don't change. because you're still bringing back Undertaker. It's still a big deal.
And it's a part of your plan for the next month or so.
Right. And once it happens, there's this big, oh, what's going to happen now when it happens? And there's not that for this because it feels very same old, same old. And then add on to the fact that, like, everybody was predicting, okay, Sheamus will cash in, and that's when Sheamus gets the title.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's already on to, like, okay, so I'm going to armchair book a TLC match, and that's probably when Roman will get it back, because they do actually want Roman to have the title.
Right.
Or maybe we'll go into, you know, some interference there that will lead into a, you know, Royal Rumble match.
Sure.
And that could...
And
but by that point, clearly...
Fine, because that will leave Roman completely free of
that,
Royal Rumble.
That will keep Roman and Sheamus out of the Rumble.
Which we're okay with.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, like, if they had any care about what Roman Reigns is doing at WrestleMania, that is what they need to do. They need to keep Roman Reigns far away from the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. But that's the
especially
thing.
Especially if, by some miracle, Dana Bryan comes back.
The thing is, like, everybody has their like... Nobody's sitting there like, I wonder what's going to happen next. It's like, oh, they're continuing the path of most obviousness.
Right.
So it's going to be this or that. That's pretty much what you got.
We're going to see at least a two, maybe three rivalry, or 2-3 month rivalry between Reigns and Sheamus. Mm. I will give them credit for this. They found a way to make the freaking Smarks kind of cheer for Roman.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I was like, I'm pretty hard in the camp of better Roman than Sheamus. So sure. I was stunned to see all the people in the better Sheamus than Roman camp.
I don't know.
So
I will say this. Sheamus's promo, from the little bit of Raw that I was able to see today, Sheamus's promo at the beginning wasn't terrible. Like, he's a heel. The look who's stupid now thing, I kind of liked it.
Sheamus is better on the mic. But I think part of that comes from...
Being a heel?
Part of it comes from being a heel. Part of it comes from not having everything put out word for word, beat for beat in front of him.
Like they do with Roman.
Like they do with Roman.
Yeah. Okay.
And that brings me to the other thing I want to talk about, which is character booking. So you have a couple of different archetype characters in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest example is John Cena is basically Hulk Hogan. It's the same. Hustle, loyalty, respect is say your prayers or your vitamins.
Sure.
You know, doing everything for the crowd. Straight as an arrow. Always try, never give up. It's the same character.
Do it for the love of competition.
Yeah.
Don't take any shortcuts.
Honorable man.
Pretty much everything that Roman's been doing for the past month.
Right. So... And that, like, there's tweaks here and there, but it's the same basic archetype of a character.
Mm-hmm.
And that works for both of those dudes, and that's great. Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns are not the same characters.
No.
So you cannot be like, this storyline was so successful for Daniel Bryan... The crowd forced us to change our biggest WrestleMania ever.
Right.
We should do the exact same thing for Roman Reigns. It'll work brilliantly.
Right. The authority constantly putting him through challenges week to week.
Yeah.
Making him, you know, really claw for everything.
And that's... The thing is, like, that is not... You can't book... You can, obviously, because they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But booking people against something that they... can naturally do just doesn't work. And there are people, like Kane is a good example, where Kane can do a lot of things really well.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, all right, Kane is, we need Demon Kane, so he's Demon Kane for a while. Then we need goofy, lovable sidekick Mid-Carter Kane.
Right.
Okay, he can do that pretty brilliantly with Team Friendship. You know, okay, we need the little duality corporate Kane thing. Okay, he can do that. Like, but there are people who can and can't do things. And Roman Reigns...
Not everybody's going to be that versatile, is what you're saying. And
right.
Roman Reigns, you know, clearly has his limits.
Well,
plus, he's still, you know, he's only been in the company, or at least on the main roster, for 3 years.
Well, part of the thing
he's still very young in the business.
Like with the whole Cena-Hogan thing, that's what they're really putting on Roman's. And that is not necessarily what he excels at.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go back to when he was in the Shield, and like, I was super big on Roman. I was big on all of them. They were all fantastic.
Right.
And I was like, and Roman was very limited talking, kind of just the big extra muscle guy in the back. He came into and he did his talking in the ring. I was like, that's great. He's awesome. I could watch him main event for years. And they're like, here's a mic. And I was like, darn, I was wrong.
Right. Yeah.
And so, but that's fine. He has genuine talent and skill, developed skill in the ring. He has gotten better in the time that we have seen him. There's clearly potential. He has the look for it. There's no reason he shouldn't be a successful over main event wrestler, but your insistence of him being John Cena, the next John Cena, do it like John Cena did,
right,
is going to kill him every time. Somebody on Reddit made this analogy that kind of basically sums up my feelings towards it. It's like, where Superman, where Cena is Superman, Roman Reigns should be Batman. Who's silent, dark, brooding, hangs out in the shadows, and deals out vigilante justice.
Sure.
Which was like, my example before I read that, my example was going to be Crow Sting.
Right.
Where he just hangs out, and he's like, he's always doing right, and he never, you know, he was tempted by the storyline with NWO, but he always stayed true, and he did it for the honor of wrestling, but he didn't do it with hustle, loyalty, and respect. He did it a totally different way that really worked.
And was over.
Well, that's the thing. He was super over.
And that's the other thing. Like, you know, sure, the company can really get behind, you know, a certain guy, and they want to push that guy to be the thing. But at the same time, the fans kind of have to embrace him, at least initially. You know,
it's how you book and how you build something. Like, another example is Dean Ambrose is booked. You know, they call him the Lunatic Fringe. I was like, what does he do that's super lunatic-y?
Right.
And I get that, like, it's PG, and so he can't really do
a whole lot.
Some stuff that Dean Ambrose, the person, would probably be willing to do.
Right.
Because he's a little bit of a crazy person.
Right.
But, like, what does he do?
I mean, outside of the hot dog stand thing, or, you know, or throwing the merchandise around in that duffel bag that one time. Like, it was like a couple weeks where they were, like, really going full on with the lunatic thing, and it was kind of working. It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And then they just stopped.
But, like, and here's the thing. Your lunatic fringe character is the character that you should be booking against the authority.
Right.
And you're not, because you wanted to be Roman Reigns. You feel Roman Reigns has to be the one fighting the authority, and that's stupid. But because Dean Ambrose, this lunatic character, the closest successful thing you have is still Stone Cold.
Sure.
Which is this... He wasn't a lunatic, but he was... what word am I looking for here?
Rebel.
I guess. Rebel.
Common guy who just had, you know, enough of the power that be.
But he had the thing where... He was going to do something his way, or he wasn't. It wasn't that he was going to overcome the odds, but he didn't let the fact that the odds existed stop him from doing anything. And that's something Dean Ambrose could very easily be doing, where the authority lines up, you know, 12 stooges, and you just... You get some commentary on, this is where you run away, Dean. And Dean's like, nope, I'm going to fight 12 guys. Let's go.
Right.
And you're like, that's a crazy person idea.
Right.
And it's PG, and nobody has to bleed. And
sure. I mean, yeah, like, you know, like we said with the hot dog stand and the merchandise stuff and all that crazy stuff. Like, that was his way of doing it that also fit for the, you know, the climate of the company right now.
Yeah.
So if you just kept, if you let him just continue, like, do it the way that he feels is fit for his character, who cares as long as it gets over?
Yeah,
exactly. You know, and, or then again, you got, you know, Roman, who's just, part of the reason people just don't like him is because he's shoved down your throats, and you can tell he's not comfortable.
Yeah.
Especially when he's on the mic. If, you know, he just looks so uncomfortable delivering those robotic lines.
He does, and he doesn't need to, because you're going to insist that he fights Triple H, and
sure.
Triple H loves to give 28-minute promos.
Sure does.
So, 28-minute promo, Roman comes down, says nothing, and attacks. People will love that.
Sure.
It will play to Roman's strength. Mm-hmm. It'll play to Triple H's strength.
Rather than making it a 35-minute promo with, you know, with, when you add in whatever Reigns tries to say.
Yeah.
Which ends up just being a recap.
And so, I've realized the fact that, barring injury, Roman's gonna be the guy. And I don't want to root for injury.
Right.
So
but
I'm
if
not
there's
going
one guy
to do
that.
That.
If there was one guy that just knowing our luck and our fate, Roman Reigns is never going to get injured ever, like ever again.
Well, that's the thing. It's like
he was fine in his initial singles run, mm-hmm. and then he got injured or the hernia thing.
Yeah,
and then he came back, and it's just from that point on, it was just so obvious that he was going to be the guy that WWE got behind.
Well, it's. Again, that's okay. If you're going to do that, then make it the best version of that guy. Don't make another version of what has worked in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, like, that's the thing is, like, I get that Cena has worked in the past, and I get that Hogan's worked in the past, and I get that the other successful guys were a product of the Attitude Era, and
sure.
we had to do things to beat WCW at the time that we would never do.
Right.
But that doesn't mean those guys aren't super successful.
Sure.
And, like, I don't know, it's just booking Roman as the next top guy and booking Roman as the next John Cena don't have to be the same thing.
Right. He can still be a top guy and still be
he
his
can
own
even be
character.
The top guy.
Yeah, sure.
Like that can be a thing, and he doesn't have to. You don't have to find three new positive adjectives for him to wear on a T-shirt.
Right.
So just Sting Crow, like
sure.
Really, go back and watch your network a little bit. That's
right.
I really feel like that's
something that would
benefit Roman
yeah.
greatly over the next right now.
Sure.
Like
think how over Ryback was back when he hardly ever said anything.
Yeah, because here's the thing. As weird as this sounds, I'm kind of really interested in a Roman and Sheamus match.
It would be super stiff.
It's gonna be real stiff.
Yeah.
Sheamus is gonna get a lot of welts on him.
Mm-hmm.
They're using chairs.
And you already saw that, you know, in WrestleMania 31. That, you know, when the fight is brought to him, Roman will, you know, he will respond with just as much ferocity.
Yeah. And I think those two guys can genuinely... I think they got a good match in them.
I
don't think they have an elegant match in
them.
No,
it's full brawler style.
I don't think we're going to have, like, some of that really good, subtle storytelling you get on this.
Nope.
No.
Just beating the crap out of each other.
But I think these guys will really hit each other really hard. And, okay, let's see what that looks like.
Let's see how long Sheamus holds the belt. Because we might get the first Daniel Bryan Sheamus WrestleMania match that we finally don't mind as much because it's for the championship. And we're like, well, Daniel Bryan's got to win now.
I might have predicted you because I remember that was a thing for a while. I was predicting
I had that thought today. Yeah.
Daniel Bryan just
like,
I don't know if I did it this year.
They're trying to find a way for us to finally get behind Daniel Bryan facing Sheamus at WrestleMania
this
again.
This is it. This is it. Just build it up.
I still feel like we have not seen the last Daniel Bryan Sheamus WrestleMania match.
I don't know. We'll see.
I'm really adamant about it.
What else do you got? Feelings on Survivor Series?
Okay. Not so much Survivor Series, but Raw, kind of. But in that same vein of that situation. I didn't realize that it bugged me until today.
Okay.
The whole, like, Monday night after Raw, a championship changes hands, and the first thing that happens is the the person that lost always comes out and is like, I want my rematch now, which is always promptly followed by some authority figures like, no, it's not going to happen. Like, they do that so many times. They rely on it way too much. Like, we get it. Like, you guys want to, like, you know, make it obvious that this feud is going to continue for right. this next month. But there's other ways to do it. And plus, we just assume, like, you just announce. I would rather them just go out and announce that Sheamus and Roman Reigns are going to have a TLC match. That's essentially what that led to.
Yeah. Okay, so I am very curious as to the consistency that the average fan watches wrestling. You and I watch it every week, and all pay-per-views.
Yeah.
There are people who watch it more than us. There are people who only watch it during WrestleMania season. There are people who...
Occasionally flip.
Yeah, and there are people who, you know, haven't watched since 2005, right. but, you know, this whole Yes thing brought them back, or this right. the pipe bomb brought them back, but they've kind of fallen off the wayside, or something else brought them, whatever. And there's people who are watching, you know, brand new for the first time right now. But things like, there are things that happen the same way every time. One of them is, I want my rematch tonight. You don't get it. You get it the next pay-per-view.
Right.
There's the contract signing.
Sure.
You know, it's like, this one's going to be peaceful. No, it's not.
No.
And so I wonder, because WWE has to know, like, oh, we do this the same way every time. How often can we do it? How often can they do it? And not, because I do get, like, something's going to frustrate you and me a lot more than it'll frustrate other people. Because I've seen them do it every single time for the past.
But for them, like, I could see what they're thinking is, not saying that it's, I'm condoning it in any way, but their repeated use of that device is just because, like, basically it's like, oh, well, maybe the casual viewer doesn't know that there's a rematch clause, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe, so basically it's them reestablishing it. It's basically the same reason why we get so many freaking replays of the same stuff in a single episode of Raw.
Yeah.
You know, like, you get whatever happened in that first segment, you're going to get, like, at least three replays for the rest of the show.
So
it's them thinking in their minds that they are helping the casual viewer, which I guess it can, that it can work, or I've never really been a casual viewer, so I don't.
Here's the thing. I'm really curious about it because I'm like, who is this casual viewer?
Right.
Like, who really is it? Because you and I watch every week.
Sure.
And I know not everybody watches every week, but
the people that do watch it have at least watched it enough to know the basics.
Right.
Typically.
Like, and part of it is like,
and let me also jump in there. If this casual viewer, I have a feeling they're probably not just, like, on their own watching Raw and be like, oh, I've never given this wrestling thing a try. Let me try it now.
That's the thing. It's like,
by themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
Typically, and that, you know, and especially because we're kind of going through this with this now, have somebody that's never really watched wrestling before and won't watch it on their own, but should watch it with us, you know? Right. And so there's a little bit of explaining. But beyond that, she could pretty much put it together herself.
But people in that situation, it's like, it's not like, it's, hey, come watch an episode of wrestling with me. It's not, hey, watch, you know, the second middle hour of wrestling, and maybe we'll figure out what happened in the first if they happen to replace. Oh, well, they do. What luck for us.
Right.
I mean, I get that people do, you know, because Monday Night Football hits a lot of the same demographic, I get that people flip back and forth, but I don't know.
But that also is kind of saying, like, hey, it's okay that you're changing the channel, because we're going to remind you what happened anyway.
It makes me feel more comfortable changing the channel, because I'm definitely not going to miss anything.
Sure.
I might miss something on football, like the big play, the one play that I'm, you know, this whole football game comes down to.
Right.
can happen at any point in the game, so I need to watch that except for commercials. I just don't know. I don't know who that's really genuinely. I get we keep saying the casual viewer, but
sure.
I don't know many scenarios where it's like that is the exact amount of replays that we needed.
Right.
And we can, and part of it is like there's a little bit of like with the contracts, and it's like how are they gonna devolve into chaos tonight? I know they will. I don't know how.
Yeah.
Let's see who flips the table first. Which has a little bit of goofy charm to it.
And who is going to say something that almost makes them completely trash the entire rivalry?
Yeah.
As we learned this past.
Okay. So,
You want to touch on that?
We can touch on that. Okay. I think we can. We tried to touch on it last week, and then ended up not.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure you know, there was a incident where Paige mentioned Charlotte's brother.
Right.
And we discussed it last week on the podcast. I think some of it ended up not making it into the final product.
Sure. Yeah.
Because one of the things that I'll totally take when I said, it's in poor taste, but I can't get that upset because they definitely got okays from all the appropriate people.
Right.
And kind of was pretty dismissive about it, in all fairness.
Because we figured, surely no publicly traded company would be so irresponsible as to, you know, not get the permission of the correct parties.
Turns out
they are that irresponsible.
And I'm a dum-dum for ever thinking otherwise.
Now you're right. And I'll go ahead and not so you're not alone on the island. I totally went with you on that, and I actually I continued that conversation with that premise.
Yeah.
That no one is that stupid to not get permission from the correct parties.
So here's the thing. Here's how it has gone down.
To steal a line from my own short film, apparently someone can be that dumb and it's WWE.
So we have this conversation. Recorded the podcast during, and you know, say this. Well, they took the next morning. It's like Ric Flair didn't know, and he's pretty upset about it. You guys,
and he's pretty sure that, for lack of a better term, Charlotte was bullied into agreeing to it.
Yeah. So
WWE, nothing has been confirmed about that, by the way. But
WWE released a statement that was very loose paraphrasing, basically like, this was Charlotte's idea. We tried to stop her, but she was really insistent that we bring this up. It was totally her idea. Which,
yeah, no.
I don't believe you.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing, like, best case scenario for WWE, Charlotte is the one that brings, hey, what if we mention this? That would definitely get heat for Paige. WWE.
Well, yeah.
Or for Paige. And WWE says, at that point, WWE should say either, we're not comfortable with that, that there's some bad taste there.
Mm-hmm.
But they've done worse, and so, like, I can definitely see them being like, okie doke. But nobody is like, hey, one of our biggest legends of all time, a guy who is still employed under a Legends contract here, a guy who is so popular with the fans that his name still gets a reaction, regardless of whether or not he's in the building,
right,
was also related to this person.
Who we have used plenty of times to get some of that reaction onto Charlotte.
Yes.
Not even a month before.
I'm sure he is in the contact list of every phone that's owned by all the higher-ups at that company, and nobody wants to, like, give him a call.
Especially when one of the higher-ups, like, credits Ric Flair as being, like, a close friend, a mentor, just someone he always looks up to, and again, a close friend.
Yeah.
Did you really do that to a close friend?
And just, like, that is, I don't know, like...
Let's put it this way, right, just as an example. That's like, let's pretend that my mom and my sister listen to this podcast. It don't happen, but let's just pretend. And I would say to myself, you know what? You know what would be, or excuse me, Joel coming up to me, like, hey, you know what would be great for the podcast? If you went on the podcast and you made a dead dad joke. You make a dad joke. And then all your mom and your sister will be okay with it. You should do it. You should do it. And I do it. And then, you know, my mom and my sister get angry. And then you're like, I try to talk about it. But you know what? He just really...
You didn't see the twinkle in his eye.
He came up with that dead dad joke. It's the same... It's the same thing.
Like... And here's the thing. It's... I don't even want to... I just... Because the other thing I compared it to was the Paul Bearer situation.
Right.
And it's like...
Because it was a little bit of, like...
Well, here's the thing. I spoke great praises of the Paul Bearer, of how they incorporated that.
Right.
And I feel like... And that's the thing, is like... At the time, I was like, I feel a little bit hypocritical about saying such good things about this CM Punk Paul Bearer Undertaker thing, and then...
But for some reason, like, it does, that didn't feel quite, like, maybe it, a few years removed, that might be part of it.
Part of it.
At the time, it doesn't feel like it was as on the nose and disrespectful as Paige, what she had said in the promo.
Part of it is, okay, there's a couple things. Part of it is CM Punk never said unkind things about Paul Bearer.
No,
he said he's dead, and he tormented the Undertaker about, like, the Undertaker mourning this loss.
Right.
But he never said Paul Bearer died because he is weak or died because he's upset with you as a failure of a wrestler.
And also, I don't think anyone explicitly said that was Paul Bearer's ashes.
No.
Probably, you know, even for legal reasons, like, that's why if you go back and watch it, like, there's mostly just silence while CM Punk is doing it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it's like, oh my god, I can't believe he's doing it. But a lot of it is like, let's not, for legal reasons, allude to, and for, you know, PG reasons, allude to us, like, using somebody's actual ashes.
Yeah. Part of it was that. Part of it was also, Paul Bearer was a wildly popular and successful character for several years on this very show.
Right.
And... In addition to the person playing him having died, the character has also died in the show. That's not the case in here. This is a independent wrestler that only the, you know, most well known, you know, the people who really dig into the dirt sheets know about and know what happened and know the situation.
Right.
Which is different, like bringing up. So, all right, I'm gonna. There's a story I'm going to tell about when I was in a media law and ethics class.
Okay.
Bill Cosby comes up in this story. We didn't know about Bill Cosby back then.
Because this was years ago.
Yes.
This was pre-2010.
So when Bill Cosby's son was killed.
Yes.
And the discussion was kind of if that was news and why that was news.
Right.
And it was news. But,
because of who he was related to.
Right, but part of it was the headline of that story is Bill Cosby's son, da-da-da-da, has died because of da-da. It's right. Not just da-da-da-da has been murdered because of da-da. It, you know, the Bill Cosby has to be in the headline because that's what makes it newsworthy.
Right.
And so with this thing, when you have to explain... why who you're talking about is relevant and situation, it's different than commenting on a...
This is a who's already well-known.
Yes, a well-known for several years, this man and this character.
Right.
And so there's that difference, and it's a small but very, very, very critical difference. There are... And part of it is like... one of the people that was upset was, you know, his mom. And that's the kind of thing where, like, there is no excuse.
You're talking about Reed's mom.
Yes, sorry. Okay. There's no excuse about Ric Flair. Ric Flair's on your phone.
Sure.
You let Ric Flair, right. And that's the thing, like, Ric Flair probably watches that show every week.
Sure.
You know?
So if you're new, especially stuff that involves his daughter, he's going to watch it.
Exactly. Right. So, you know,
there's no excuse for them not to reach out and
right.
mention it, or at least warn them.
Right. Freed's mom, I did not think about until she mentioned she was upset.
Right.
You should have, because you're a company and it's your job.
Sure.
So you should have also thought about that. I didn't until that, but I was like, oh, yeah, that, right. I would have totally... You know, that didn't cross my mind until now. But that's part of the thing is, like, with Paul Bearer, there's kind of a clear, like, this is who you contact.
Right.
That might not exist here.
Right. But then at the same time, like, I kind of remember that his sons weren't exactly thrilled with it. I vaguely remember that.
There was some stuff about that.
But they didn't seem to make a huge stink about it either. And I think, you know...
I don't remember exactly, but there was something along the lines of, like, I'm not happy about it, but I know it's what he would have wanted.
Sure.
And it might have been, like...
And it might have been, like, you know, just, you know, it might have been a thing for a little while, but clearly, like, they came to terms at some point because they inducted him the next year.
Right, and it might have been something about, like, what they were comfortable with and were not comfortable
sure.
with. But just it's kind of at the end of the day, like... A huge, phenomenal ball was dropped.
Yeah.
And, like...
It seemed very irresponsible.
Yes. And...
For a variety of reasons.
And it feels like... It feels like this is the kind of thing that companies should be really good at apologizing for.
Yeah.
Because companies make mistakes all the time. And there is, like... There is the kind of, by the numbers... pretty meaningless apology transcript
sure.
that happens when companies make mistakes. And it's, again, it's meaningless, but it's what you do, and we're like, okay, fine. And they bungled that one, too.
Right. Yeah.
And she's like, really? I...
Yeah.
And, like, actually, I feel really bad for Charlotte more now, because it really feels like, you know, now it's like, you like that title, don't you?
Yeah.
Make sure you talk about how this was your idea, like on Twitter or something.
Right.
You know, 8 times a week.
And then not only that, now there's rumors that they're limiting WWE employees like access to certain podcasts. Like, mm-hmm. you're only going to like approved podcasts now.
Yeah.
I think it's like
Jericho, Steve
Austin, and Sam Roberts.
Right. And like, oh yeah, that's because. Ric Flair did, like, voice his displeasure.
On his own podcast.
On his own podcast.
Yeah.
Although, then they, like, they've now announced that, like, Ric Flair will be on the Stone Cold podcast.
Right.
It's like, all right, so men's got real mane.
But it looks like that and the Shawn Michaels one are pre-recorded.
I'm curious about them. I'm curious if they just, like...
Because they have a different set behind them that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Makes me think that they pre-recorded. Plus, Shawn is wearing, like, the exact same thing he was wearing in the JBL thing
mm-hmm.
for Undertaker.
Yeah. I hope they're not pre-recorded.
I mean, I guess, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, it really wouldn't matter. Other than we would be like, I wonder if they edited anything out.
Part of it is if they edited anything out. Part of it
that
is...
That would be really the only major thing.
Well, part of it is, like, I'm really interested in, like, their take on what's happening right now.
Sure.
I'm not interested in what their take... on, you know, the build-up to SummerSlam was and who they think's going to win at SummerSlam.
Right.
Because I know that.
Right.
And,
you know, I'm
and so that's just kind of an issue with...
Plus, it's a situation where, like, I'm sure, like, Stone Cold's not completely thrilled with, you know, flying to wherever Raw is that week and staying, you know, and doing this super late show. And, as well as, you know, tech guys probably aren't thrilled with, like, still working, like, for another hour or so after the show's...
I get that.
And at the same time, you're interviewing guys who are no longer, like, active roster members, so they're pretty much free, you know, whenever they can schedule it.
Well, and here's the thing. I have never liked those podcasts being on immediately after Raw, because that's late.
Well, yeah, because you have a real person job with real hours.
I do, and, like, I'm, you know, dozing a little bit during the main event, barely standing, because it's late.
Right.
And, like, unless
the last couple podcasts haven't really been that interesting. and Paige.
I thought you were talking about ours. I was like, no. Okay, sorry. I'll watch Raw better.
It was short. It was 35 minutes. How dare you? But no, I'm talking about like Paige and mm-hmm. Brock Lesnar especially. Like it was kind of like interesting for a second. It's like he really is a farm boy, and then you're like, okay, all right, no, we're tired of hearing about farm stuff.
Well, part of it was like if you go back to you remember that first Vince when you're like, I want like four times a year, sure. Stone Cold and Vince just being like, all right, update us on what's going on backstage. Right. I would love that, and it's kind of like. They didn't take that route. They took this, like, somebody different every time. And sure. You're like, all right. Like,
I don't know.
I don't want to call Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels scraping the bottom of the barrel because it's not. But, like, it feels like we're not on the top of the barrel anymore. Right.
Because you want, like, because that's what interests us with, you know, the Vince and the Triple H podcast is, like, these are guys who are very much still, like, have their finger on the pulse. Or at least, Vince has a very loose grip on the pulse, but, you know.
They have a finger on WWE's pulse, sure. Regardless of whether or not it's in sync with the national pulse.
Right. I don't know about four times a year, but I would at least like once a year kind of state of the WWE like podcast with Stone Cold.
Yeah, that's
him and Vince.
Yeah, I would much rather that. I mean, yeah, once a year to four times a year. After four times a year, it gets extraneous.
Right.
But that's quarterly.
I want an Undertaker one, man.
No, I do want an Undertaker one.
Like,
that's the thing. It's like, I'm waiting for that Undertaker one.
And then we talked about that with the JBL thing. Like, it was four guys sitting around a table, like, talking about another guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, just get the other guy. Like, it's like, oh, to get the full sort, you're going to have to ask Undertaker about that. It's like, no, we can't. Because he won't do these podcasts.
But that's the thing is, like, who else, like, I mean, I'm sure they will find people. But, sure. Like... It's getting to the point of like who else is do we really need that Stone Cold
He's
podcast?
Gonna do for? A Roman Reigns one. You know, I'm not saying like we need it or we want it, but he's gonna do a Roman Reigns one.
I mean, yeah, he will, but like
you know, at least he'll probably run through the Shield guys.
Yeah,
you know, I would like to see him and because John Cena did the Jericho, we didn't do Stone Cold. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see Stephanie. It's Stone Cold.
Yeah, that was kind of a disappointment when Stephanie went to Jericho.
It was instead. Pre-recorded.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. It was all right, but... But that's Jericho's kind of MO. Like, you know, he doesn't really do, you know... I don't want to say he doesn't do serious questions or he doesn't do serious topics, but I don't know. It feels a little bit, like, lighter than... It's more like stream of consciousness.
Yeah, but that's kind of things like
in the interview.
Well, that's why I feel like the Shield guys and the current guys would really work well on the Jericho podcast.
Sure.
Whereas Stone Cold, it really feels like
the grown ups. Is that what you're alluding to?
Okay.
So you're saying you want Ryback on Stone Cold's podcast?
Shush face.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that happened. Just friggin' call some people.
Yeah,
when you're gonna do something, it's just it doesn't or don't. Like I guess that's the other thing is like
yeah.
Or don't.
You're gonna do whatever you want anyway. So
well, I mean, you know, this we talked about like it did not this whole like bringing up her brother did not like. Make the feud. It wasn't like, oh,
right.
That was. You
if anything,
really did
it
right.
Felt like, oh, this is going to kill this feud now.
Like, yeah, and so.
Like honestly, I, you know, we, of course, now they're bringing up, oh, you know, Charlotte's hands were underneath the rope or whatever, so this is the reason why this feud's going to continue. But before that, I was like, well, this is, you know, this feud's probably going to end now.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to move on to something else, you know. It had that feeling to it, especially after, like, that the thing from last week's Raw just kind of sucked all the air out of the feud.
Yeah.
You know? Especially when, you know, it was supposed to be the big catalyst for the feud, and then you can't even use it in your pre-match
promo videos. That's the thing. Like, the biggest story leading into Survivor Series is nobody called Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
It's not... You know,
I don't know if that was the biggest story going into Survivor Series.
I think that might have, like, just in general.
The day before Survivor Series.
Yeah. Okay. But, like, the week leading up to it.
Okay, fair enough. Up until you got to Saturday and the rumors.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the thing. Is like, it was Undertaker's 25th anniversary.
Sure.
A new WWE champion was being crowned. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing coming out of Monday...
Especially, yeah, the show was...
Nobody called Flair.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you bungled it, and then you bungled bungling it. So
yeah, no, a lot of bungling.
Yeah,
it's a weird word for us to say a lot.
What else you got?
Wrestling wise, I don't know. I think that's pretty much it. Like that was nothing much that I really cared about. Oh, Cesaro, he's out. It was apparently like they did an interview with him earlier today. It's a shoulder injury that's been an ongoing thing for a little while, but it's gotten worse, and he needed surgery. So mm-hmm. They're saying the timetable for him to return is about 4 to 6 months. This was before surgery.
Yeah.
Surgery apparently ended during Raw. So we'll see.
Yeah. So, God, what a friggin' year for injuries.
Right?
I
had this thought earlier. Okay, whenever Seth comes back, mm-hmm. Joel, you are no longer allowed to say, did you know that we haven't had a Raw without Seth since blah, blah, blah? Because you didn't start bringing that up until like a few weeks ago. And then as soon as you do, Seth gets hurt.
But I didn't bring that up about Cesaro. We've had plenty of Raws without Cesaro.
You started the chain.
Here's the thing. Okay, so... WrestleMania 32.
Okay.
We're going to break the record. We're going to break the 93,000 record of WrestleMania mm-hmm. 3 that's been standing for years. So, right now we got Seth's out.
Yep.
Maybe not, but probably.
No, I don't see him coming back.
I would rather him be out and healthy when he comes back than rush him back and...
Just to make one big show.
Yeah. Cesaro's out. Stone Cold has definitely said he's not interested in coming mm-hmm. back. Rock might not be able to do anything because of movie insurance.
Movie schedule, yeah.
So he might be able to make an appearance, but insurance-wise, he can't wrestle a match. Right.
Although I'm still hearing rumors of Brock and Rock. I'm still hearing
the rumors, yeah. and I think it might be a situation where WWE can pay the insurance, and it'll be really expensive, sure. But it'll be worth it for them to get Rock on the card. I don't know if all the Ronda Rousey's going to be there. I don't know if that's going to happen anymore.
I feel like she might need to be...
She might get real refocused on UFC real quick.
And who knows with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And he says he's ready. Apparently he was supposed to get another check. And then the rumor was if, you know, he wasn't going to be cleared then he was just going to retire from WWE.
Yeah.
That was like a while ago.
And we haven't heard anything.
No. Which could mean, like, you know, WWE's like, well, let's keep this hush-hush so it's a big surprise when you show up. Or it could be like, we just don't want to break everybody's spirits right now.
Yeah. So
who knows?
So you're going into WrestleMania 32
mm-hmm.
with a guy who people still won't get behind
mm-hmm.
chasing another guy who, on the night he won the championship... Also said, let's get jiggy with it, earlier in the pay-per-view.
Why do you have to say these things?
You got Dean Ambrose kind of floating without a feud.
Right.
What do you do on the biggest card that's supposed to break the record that stood since WrestleMania 3?
Well, hey, you stick with what's working. So you find a reason to put New Day on the main show and not just on the pre-show. Because that's where all tag teams go, apparently, for mm-hmm. WrestleMania. You put New Day on the main show for some reason. Clearly Brock's going to have a certain amount of attraction. Don't know what he's doing yet, but you got Brock on the show, so that's going to do a certain amount of business. I don't know. Like, there's some pretty over guys down in NXT that maybe this is the time to bring them up.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, here's the thing.
Like, maybe this is, like, you find something good for Finn Balor to do, and this is, like, going to be his first big thing. Like, I'm not saying his first match is going to be at WrestleMania, because that never works for, like, Fandango, and worked a little bit better for Big E, but it wasn't great.
Right.
So, I don't know, like, have Finn Balor, like, debut around Rumble, and then just find some sort of hot angle for him to really build him up for WrestleMania to get people behind whatever he's doing.
Right.
Yeah. I, other than that, like, with the corner that they painted themselves into, it's gonna be difficult, you know? And, you know, I don't want to say, like, I'm not going to be one of those guys where the solution to all this is bringing in more part-timers.
Right.
You know, like, that. They need to wean themselves off of that. They need to build who they've got right
now. I definitely agree with that.
But at the same time,
here's the thing.
They're wanting an immediate or a seemingly immediate payoff.
The thing is, like, the only time I can have that, like, oh, I get the part-timers thing is this time frame where I'm like, Cesaro gets me watching the show. It gets you watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get, like, the other people, it doesn't get people watching the show. I remember,
because
I remember getting to, like, as much as I hated that run, I loved getting to tell people, like, Rock's WWE champion. It's a thing. It's right now.
Sure.
He has the title.
Sure.
Rock won't tell you that because he didn't bring it out when he was on the stupid talk shows.
Sure.
But I got to tell people that.
Sure.
And, yeah. And people were like, who did not care about wrestling, are like, really? Why? Tell me this.
Yeah.
And so, but here's the, so I get the,
you know, so I'm,
I understand the appeal and understanding of
right
why part-timers happen, especially around WrestleMania.
Sure. And again, as much as we may groan about it, John Cena will be back by then.
John Cena will be back. But here's, okay, so here's the thing. WrestleMania 3 had the Andre Hogan match, and it had the build-up and the suspense to that. Is there any match that you can put together that can have that must-see feeling of that match, those two guys, in that time period?
With the current roster and the timeline of certain injuries, like, putting all, because clearly, like, the one that they're holding on to is the Shield triple threat.
Right.
Which everyone felt like was going to happen at 32.
Right.
That clearly can't happen now with Seth's injury.
I want to say I'm very curious to those listening to this who were actually around for WrestleMania 3 and the feeling surrounding that.
I mean, sure.
Because
we're getting a lot of revisionist history.
That's the thing.
Well.
Like, yeah, we were not. We only know it as the story about the build-up.
Sure.
And to be fair, we get a lot of that from WWE.
Yeah.
Who, you know, that basically the sheer magnitude of the excitement of that match is basically what invented the internet. Just the raw power of that match existing, according to WWE.
Me personally, that would make me feel like it would be a huge payoff. Would be like the final culmination of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I'm assuming Sami Zayn would probably be good to go by then.
Because
I think he's. I don't know if he's close now, but by then, surely, I think he would be good to go.
Yeah, but
assuming. I don't know. I don't know too much about his injury.
You think that'll be a WrestleMania thing? Because I feel like there's a lot of, like, you know, we're...
Well, honestly, I think, honestly, before that shoulder surgery, I think Sami Zayn would have been on the main roster.
I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that. But what we're looking at now, I mean, how many people... What is the number of people that we're not gonna watch WrestleMania, but now that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are finishing up their NXT feud, I'm down for it.
A certain amount of internet fans, obviously.
Well, like, here's the thing: is like,
but I don't know how big of.
I kind of feel like the people that are excited about that match are the people who are watching NXT, they have the network, so they're not gonna buy the network to watch WrestleMania because they have the network.
Well, I mean, or you got the, you know, more of the anti-WWE people who watch their Ring of Honor stuff.
Okay.
Know? Which, again, it's probably not going to be a huge percentage in the overall scheme of their viewership.
Right. And I don't know if anti-WWE people are going to buy those expensive WrestleMania tickets just
to get paid on it. And I'm not saying that the current, you know, leadership of WWE would put that on as the main event for WrestleMania.
Right.
It's a bit of a pipe dream. Honestly, and I know you brought this up a couple times, and again, it's a lot of ifs and possiblys and maybes, but Brock and Daniel Bryan.
Brock and Daniel Bryan was not going to be my answer.
See, I knew that would be, but I was trying to come up with something else.
Wiggle the title into that feud somehow.
Sure.
I would
like for it to kind of involve like Daniel Bryan finally winning the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, and finally like getting that kind of payoff.
I would say that if you're doing a Taker match, Cena's probably just about the one guy where you're like, I don't know which way this match will go.
And you know, it would, as you know, again, as much as a lot of people might groan about it, that is a WrestleMania worthy match for Undertaker.
Right.
You know, because I think the other rumor that I heard this week that made me laugh was Undertaker and Braun Strowman.
That'll feel more like feed another round to the Undertaker.
Sure. Like that's way worse than Bray Wyatt
this year, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just feed another round. And if he's like the one that finishes it, it's like, okay.
Gross. Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
And if you didn't notice, I said his first name correctly, and then I realized I made a mistake, and so then I made...
You just mumbled that second name?
Yep. And added a G.
What do you think are the odds of Undertaker winning his last match? Because we've always said Undertaker's old school guys go out on the back.
Right.
Go out
on your shield kind of thing.
But Undertaker did sacrifice the streak.
Right.
So do you think that sacrificing the streak can fill that?
Him going off in sunset as a winner?
Yeah.
Having
his final match, let's say at WrestleMania 32 just because we're talking about it, but having his final, and whoever it's against winning that match, what do you think the odds of that happening, what do you think the merits of that happening are?
Merits, I'm not sure. I mean, honestly, if there, even without the streak ending, if the streak was still intact, if anyone just on merit alone has earned the right to, you know, go out on top or go out, you know, out on a win, it would be Undertaker. But the fact that he was, you know, willing to let his streak be broken, it kind of like, you know, makes him deserve it a little bit more, you know. Mm-hmm. Not saying that he feels like he's owed that or anything, because that's not, you know, from all stories, that's not who he is.
Right.
It's still 50-50 if that would actually happen. Like, I can't definitively say that they would or wouldn't.
I feel like, to me, I feel like whoever is the second person to beat Undertaker at WrestleMania, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Good job.
It would have to be a heel, someone that could really be like, I ended the Brock Lesnar ended the streak, but I ended the Undertaker. You mm-hmm. know, it's something that somebody who could use that momentum, which is what we said about whoever broke the streak.
Well, and the thing is, like, I the more that time passes, the more like Brock was a great choice to end the streak mm-hmm. because he still had a lot left in the tank, I guess, is the way to say it. But it cemented him, even though he was already a top guy, so it wasn't this, like, unbelievable out-of-the-blue kind of thing.
Right.
Because we talked about, like, what if, like, Fandango came in and did it? And, like, it's like, yeah, but then you wasted it.
Yeah.
Because nothing ever came of it. So, like, Brock was able to... We knew Brock was going to be successful in WWE past WrestleMania 30.
Right.
And so he was
able to... Anybody else would have been a little bit more of a gamble.
Right. And he was able to ride that. And then it's a lot safer for, like, the guy who beats Brock, which was supposed to be Roman, you know? Like, right. I get where their story was, and I didn't like it, and we cheered them away from it. But, right. like, I get that. And so that's how you basically put the feather into Roman's cap. As Roman beat the guy who broke the streak.
That momentum.
I get that. That's cool. That works in this kind of weird transitive property way.
Right.
But let's say that, you know, Boogan Stugan was the person who broke, who ended Undertaker.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like you have to be like, you know, Undertaker's putting his career on the line
right.
for this. And part of it's like, yeah, but what career? Like, his one match a year to three matches a year? Like, he's had a busy year this year.
For his recent standards, yes.
Yeah. Like, he's been going, like, what, four matches?
And some live events.
So that's the kind of thing. It's like, so him putting in, I get, like, I guess Shawn Michaels was gone for a while, but he came back at SummerSlam and was constant on the show.
Yeah, no,
until he put his career online. So, like,
the way Shawn was when he was back completely.
Yeah, and so, like, just sorry, Undertaker putting his career on the line doesn't feel as monumental, partially because there's not that much of a career to put on the line.
Right.
So I feel like there needs to be another way to announce, like, this is his retirement match.
Right.
And once we announce that this is his retirement match, just go ahead and let him win it. Like, it doesn't...
if the outcome is going to still be the same.
Well, that's the thing, is like, it doesn't feel as... It doesn't feel as much like somebody has ended The Undertaker as... Right. The Undertaker has ended it. It just happened to be on a loss.
Sure. Yeah.
So,
it's a lot less pressure for the other guy to, you know, be successful after the fact.
Right. So,
I mean, you would love for it to work out that way.
Right.
But it's, you know, that's no guarantee in most cases.
Yeah. And then, be it Cena or Sting or Kane was the other one. I was like, I would be... Undertaker's got to beat Kane, though. Like, that's their whole storyline. I wouldn't hate it if that happened, because, one, all you who don't want this, Brothers of Destruction haven't feuded since 2010.
Right.
So you got a swath of people who have never seen that happen.
Sure.
And that same swath of people still knows the legacy.
Right.
And before 2010, it was...
It was around WrestleMania 20, I believe.
Maybe. Yeah, last time they actually feuded.
Against each other, yeah.
So, we're going on 12 years.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, because that 2010 feud was just, you know, maybe it was, he popped back up at Survivor Series at SummerSlam.
Right.
Fought at Hell in a Cell and was buried alive at Survivor Series?
Possibly, yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
It
sounds bright. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
So, yeah, but that's kind of like, okay. Just think, you don't remember it.
Sure. I mean, I don't remember. I remember that it happened. I don't remember, you know, what pay-per-view was at.
So, I'm just saying, I think that I would be totally fine. This isn't a Cena and Orton situation. Like, Brothers of Destruction has been used much more sparingly.
Right. Fair enough. Do you have anything that's making you happy this week? Okay, well, that's a dumb question. You got your Christmas tree up in
your living room. Christmas time, you guys.
It's technically not quite, but okay.
It's Christmas time, you guys.
I mean,
This Thursday is practice Christmas, and then we get the rest of Christmas.
Sure. All right, I guess I can't argue with that. But also to throw on top of that, we had some fun this weekend.
Yeah, we did.
It was a lot of work, but...
Yeah, it was.
We're filming the After Effects, but it was a lot of fun. We started shooting Ballin 2.
Yeah, so huge swaths of that have been captured on footage. There's still...
I would say about half of it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. There's still footage to be organized and edited. And there's still, I guess, half the movie to shoot.
Right.
But...
And I did already get a question of when it would be out. I'm telling people, like, January, February.
Yeah, sure.
It all depends on schedules on when we're able to shoot.
It depends on shooting schedules.
Once we get that done, it's a matter of how quick I can edit.
I'm not ready to throw out a full commitment like you did for Taker. You're like, it'll be this day's the premiere.
Here's the thing about that. That was a mistake. This is why I'm being very non-committal. I'm just saying around January, February.
I would like to get to the point where we're like, because that's what they do, where they're, you know,
right.
Big official companies are like, Avengers 4 is going to be, here's the date. Go ahead and
here's mark the thing calendars. Here's another thing about that date that I picked. Not necessarily that specific date or anything, but the reason I even picked a date was because of... strong suggestion by Joel that it would be a good thing to kind of keep me on task and to,
kept you on task.
It sure did. And it, is probably also the reason why there's a few typos, editing typos. I don't know. Mistakes. Yeah, just
bungles.
Yeah, bungles.
As
there we
long
go.
As we're having today's podcast was brought to you by the word bungle.
Is that going to be the title?
I don't know yet.
Come on. So yes, but as kind of like the theme of our production company is, we did it.
Yep.
We made some mistakes. Let's not do that next time. So that's pretty much how we do it.
Yeah, yeah, no. Every movie's got to be better than the last, and that's
sure,
all I got to do.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So it's exciting.
It's exciting. We shot some pretty funny stuff.
Well, part of it is like, it's nice that we shot enough footage that it's like, we're already a good chunk away from the starting line.
Right.
Because I've definitely had things where I've like, shot the first scene.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like my movie. And like then, I technically shot one scene. Nothing's gonna. No other scene was shot for another 2 months.
And then you're like, I'm still basically at zero.
Yeah.
So yeah. And yeah, I'm glad we like buckled down and had a whole chunk of stuff. So yeah, it's kind of like there's momentum now. Yeah. So that's good.
So now it's just more of a matter of scheduling, and people just having time to, or people that you know agreed to help us with this to come in and shoot their stuff.
Yeah.
And then from there, just you know, me being married to my computer for a few weeks.
All right. Looking forward to it.
I'm sure you are.
All right. Anything else?
I do want to mention one thing about Class Ring Attire 200. Coming up in a couple weeks, we still don't have a specific date. But right now, just to kind of get everyone kind of thinking about it, right now we're looking at December 8th or 9th to do the live stream.
Okay.
Somewhere, or at least, you know, definitely during that week. But those are kind of the dates that we're kind of zeroing in on. It is unfortunate that we have to say that Blair will not be able to make it down for it, so he's not leaving the frozen tundra of Canada for this. But Q absolutely will be here, and we will be doing a live stream for Class Ring Attire 200. So make sure that you're subscribed to us on our YouTube account, which is just Class Ring Attire, one word. You should get a notification, or you should see it in your subscriptions list.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at @CRAttire, where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
Yep, and if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
Easiest way to follow us is still on iTunes. You can subscribe there. You get new podcasts going straight to you every week. You can give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you're a writer review, that kind of helps out the podcast.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow myself. Easy way to follow Chris.
Yep.
Just kind of keep up with what's going on, both with the podcast and with other things.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah. Happy Thanksgiving.